Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got some new college football rankings. Everyone's upset. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Doesn't feel very holiday-y around here because everyone's annoyed by the college football playoff committee. So congrats, you suits.
I think it's too much to say upset because then you're giving them too much power.
Oh, yeah. We can't give them agency over what our holidays.
What did Matt Muscona for the our friend from LSU call them last week? A bunch of goons.
Yeah, goons.
Goons didn't feel right because they seem a little more passive than goons. I can't trust these people, Maggie.
Those people.
I don't know who they are exactly. I know it rotates every year. I just don't trust them. I can't give them any respect for their decisions because, A, they're haphazard. B, they just don't care about strength of schedule, and they said they would.
Yeah.
But it was a total lie.
It was a lie. It's all lies. It's a sport built on lies. No. Listen, we're going to get everything.
That's true.
It was for a long time. We're rectifying that now. But here's the thing. We're going to get all the NFL we can possibly handle tomorrow. But, you know, Pearl, and I know there's a Black Friday game and stuff, but really this is a weekend for college football.
No, not at all. But yes.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to be determined. You know, the NFL, we're here. We still had a long way to go. With college football, you know, before the playoff, and I know that there's conference championship games that we'll get to, but to be honest, like, this is it. This feels like it because you have, you know, must-win game for Alabama. You've got must-win game for EJ's Miami Hurricanes. Maybe a must-win game for Oklahoma. Maybe a must-win game for Oregon, Michigan. Like, there's so much on the line. BYU, many things here where it feels like a must-win. And then you have all the Ole Miss stuff is just sort of hanging over this. And Lane Kiffin's, like, gigantic decision that he's going to make and whether or not the committee is going to dock Ole Miss. First of all, they got to win the game. They got to win the Egg Bowl. They got to go to Mississippi State and win that game. If somehow they get upset because they're distracted, because Lane's job, will he, won't he, you know, permeates into the game, this could throw another giant, you know, I don't know, just a big wrench in the whole entire thing. And so, yeah, I think this weekend really belongs to college football more than the NFL.
I 100% disagree. The Cowboys-Chiefs alone blows all this away. But that's what games matter. You said Miami. What difference does it make?
Oh, this is gigantic for Miami. First
in what
of all,
sense?
Okay, so
I think it's a zero burger for Miami. I think they're going to win, and it's not going to make a difference.
Okay, so Miami, you notice, is like kind of slowly inching their way back into like a certain tier. And yesterday, the College Football Playoff Committee chair, it's a new guy now, Hunter Yurecek. The old guy got tossed for, I don't know, conduct detrimental to the committee.
Kind of missed the old guy.
He's not even at Baylor anymore. He just had to pack up and go totally. Anyway, he's out. So college football. New guy in. And he basically said, Pearl, that, you know, after last week where Carson Beck throws for four touchdowns against Virginia Tech, now Miami is being considered in the same tier as Notre Dame, right. Alabama, and BYU.
So do you think, wow.
So they need to beat Pitt to keep any hope of a very slim chance of making the ACC championship game alive or an even slimmer chance, although they need some upsets, to get in as an at-large bid.
So the so
yes, it's a must win.
Yeah, of course it's a must win. But honestly, I think that you're creating false hope because I think SMU probably wins this week. Well, I would hope so, at least. And then they're in the ACC title game and Miami's left out. And these other games, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, like, Oklahoma's a must win. But if they can't beat LSU at home, then what are we talking about? They clearly don't deserve to be in the conversation. If Ole Miss can't beat Mississippi State in a must win game, they clearly don't belong in the conversation. Like, these are easy games.
Is that clearly, though? Or is that, you know, again, let's go with Ole Miss for a second. Yeah. Let's pause on that because they've been this big, huge story because of Lane Kiffin and the courting by LSU in Florida. And I don't know if there's a mystery team out there. So if they lose this game, you know, a Mississippi State team that, you know, took Texas down to the wire.
Right. And Texas, who is completely gets 0.0 respect from the committee. Well, they don't even think they're a real team. So that means nothing.
Okay. But I'm just saying, would there not be outside circumstances? Are there not outside factors?
Oh, you're saying Lane.
Exactly. See, you're making this easy, but you just said it when we started. The committee, whatever way the wind blows, they decide whatever they want.
I mean, Mississippi State's 5-6. What are we talking about? If Ole Miss can't beat them, then they don't belong in the playoff. If Alabama can't beat Auburn, they don't belong in the playoff. These are, to me...
But they're rivalry games. You don't put anything into that they're a little different. Like, Michigan beating Ohio State last year is just crazy. But did you think that Ohio State did not deserve to be in the college football playoff because of that?
Well, no, because Ohio State wasn't on the brink like these other teams. So, yeah, and honestly, if Ohio State can't beat this Michigan team, then I don't know what we're doing here for Ohio State. They're 10.5-point favorites, and this Michigan team is not good.
We said that about last year's Michigan
team. Yeah, but this year, like, if Ohio State is not prepared for this, even they're 10.5 points at underdogs at home, they really should win this game. That's why
two of their best offensive weapons are banged up.
Yeah, I just receivers. Like these are not like I don't know. I'm just not going to be wildly impressed with any of these games. I think it laid it out nicely. These contenders should beat these teams. Like none of the teams you mentioned should. If Miami can't beat Pittsburgh. I mean, you saw Pittsburgh. I mean, if they can't beat the Panthers, then they clearly don't belong. These are must wins. I agree on the must win part, but I don't agree on these are great matchups.
Okay, EJ,
a lot of double digit.
I know
spreads.
EJ's spinning a lot of plates here behind the scenes. Okay, have you looked at the weather report for Saturday when your Miami Hurricanes, who are again creeping back up into the standings, creeping back into respectability? Because they've won the last 3 weeks, both by 17, at least 17 points in all three games. Have you checked the weather that they'll be playing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
I saw 39 degrees and cloudy.
Looks like it's going to be a balmy 34 at kickoff.
Okay.
How do you think your Miami Hurricanes are going to deal with that?
Possibly not great, but they are a physical defensive team. That is their MO, actually. So defense should hold in theory, but not great.
I mean, like, they're a touchdown favorite off the road.
But this could be all for nothing because if they get off the plane and that 35 degrees hits you coming off those three rivers, whew.
But let me ask you, it's not even beyond just the weather. It's even if they win, can they dominate, right? Because Notre Dame dominated this team a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
If Miami comes in and they're dealing with the weather, they can't figure it out, and okay, they win the game, let's say they win by 7 or 3 or even 10, is that going to be enough for the committee to say, okay, let's actually seriously compare Miami and Notre Dame? That would be a concern.
Wait, I don't think so, because this committee has really valued Notre Dame a lot more than Miami since it started ranking teams. Yes, go ahead.
Like, let's be real. Like, what has happened? I don't know what the win probability is here, but I don't understand how Miami gets in. I can't see a scenario.
So they're obviously, they need to beat Pitt, that's first. And then they're going to need a series of upsets. They're going to need SMU to lose. They're going to need UVA to lose. They're going to need Duke to lose, I think also, EJ.
Yeah, Duke has a tiebreaker.
And I also think they need Michigan to beat Ohio State for some reason. Like, there's a lot of, they basically need every upset on earth to happen.
But they can't have Michigan beat Ohio State, right? I would imagine, because that Michigan would be dangerous to them.
I think it's right. They want Ohio State to win if they're actually going for an at-large.
Well,
I guess
somehow
they're in the mix with Michigan there. They probably also want Texas Tech to win. And BYU to lose, anyone else who they could potentially be battling with for an at-large, especially the Big 12. It's probably going to be the Big 12 champion game loser.
What they need is essentially Alabama to win the SEC title. Here's how I pictured it in my head as a Miami fan.
Okay.
If Alabama wins the SEC title, they will have to jump Notre Dame in the ranking.
Yes.
And if BYU...
And they're behind them right now.
Right. BYU wins the championship, it's not going to matter for Miami. But if they lose the Big 12 championship, then
but
it would
in
make
an impressive
Notre Dame,
way. Yeah.
Then it would make Notre Dame and Miami as the 10 and 11 team. And now the committee really has to stare down the barrel of saying that we don't care about head-to-head. Now, this guy gives different messages with every question. First, he's like, well, we think Notre Dame's better, but hey, Miami's climbing, and they're the highest climber, and they're playing great. So I think he's leaving tea leaves out there that Miami could jump them if that happens. But I think as long as Notre Dame still has this distance from Miami with Alabama and BYU there, which is essentially what the committee guy said, they're not going to have a shot. But if Alabama can jump, and BYU can get out of the paint, that's where the Miami-Notre Dame conversation, I think, becomes more interesting.
What about, and you're just disregarding Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt, I don't think, has a shot.
Vanderbilt's
going to beat Tennessee. Tennessee hasn't beaten a ranked team. I don't think Vanderbilt's jumping Miami as long as Miami beats a ranked Pitt.
Oh, my God.
Well, the committee did give you a favor there by ranking Pitt, because that's going to look like another ranked win. So, you know, maybe they are trying to give a little boost to Miami. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So that's really the only thing that kind of changed outside of Miami moving up. The only thing that really changed in the top 12 was the fact that Oregon jumped Ole Miss, and that was kind of expected. Ole Miss was idle, and Oregon had a quality win against USC and really took it to USC. So, Manny, I'll hear cut one. I think for the College Football Playoff Committee, just leave the jokes to someone else. Let's hear Hunter Yurecek talking about putting Oregon over Ole Miss and makes a 6-7 joke.
How much of an impact potentially could it be on Ole Miss if it's determined they don't have their head coach in the field?
6-7. But seriously, Rich, we didn't have any discussion about Ole Miss and their coach.
Manny, as a young person, are you offended by this?
I listen, the 6-7 joke is a demographic that's younger than I, but this made me want to not be alive anymore.
Well, Hunter Yurecek's 57.
Yeah, no, that he's way too old. I'm too old to be saying that joke, man. And there was no sustenance to his answer. He didn't answer Reese Davis's question. What is this? Get this guy out of here, bro.
It's so bad.
Oh, he's like,
they're scrambling.
It's like Phil Dunphy trying to be, you know, cool with the kids. Like, shut up, man. Just give us the answer. We don't need your BS.
I don't think this committee has awareness.
Takes their job seriously?
Well, no, I think they probably, I don't know. But I don't think they have awareness, Pearl, of how much people really loathe them.
6-7. Well, I mean,
you know?
ESPN buried them behind some random college basketball. It was an hour late. I think ESPN knows it's not that serious of a thing. Like, nobody... Yeah, we're having fun with it today, but I don't think anybody takes the committee at all seriously.
6-7.
No, but they do determine who's going to challenge for a college football.
Tell Miami fans if we don't take it seriously. What are you
talking about? The shows leading up have no historical connection to the final ranking. They've never had... I mean, basically, they could throw out anything and just change your mind the last second. They've always done that. I think every year. So these pregame shows are just sort of mild entertainment because everyone knows that they're going to do whatever they want next week.
That wasn't entertainment right there.
They need to work on their jokes.
I feel like last week I called this guy a jerk. You guys thought I was being too harsh. I stand 10 toes down on that.
Six,
this guy is
seven.
A jerk. An absolute jerk.
They'll totally make whatever decision they want based on brand next week, by the way. They'll find a way. And honestly, of course, because the scheduling is an absolute utter joke. The college football just has no consistency in strength of schedule, so this is going to happen. You can choose anyone you want. They can do whatever, absolutely whatever they want. Nothing that was said last night has any impact whatsoever.
I'll tend to agree with you. You know, college football, you got to love chaos. You know, if you're someone who likes order and like consistency, then like college football is going to be forever frustrating for you. But if you like chaos and if you like to see the world burn, then college football is 100% your sport. Here's my question for you, though, Pearl. Do you think that when it's all said and done, you said the committee can change their mind at any time and has. Do you think they ultimately hold it against Ole Miss when Lane Kiffin and makes his announcement on Saturday that he is not going to be staying at Ole Miss, he's going to be leaving for somewhere else, and Joe Judge or whoever, Charlie Weiss Jr., whoever it's going to be, is going to take over as head coach for this run?
So can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are there two scenarios, whether Ole Miss beats Mississippi State or whether they lose a two-loss Ole Miss? I think they would hold it against a one-loss Ole Miss. I think they would let in. And I could be wrong about that.
Well, I think they'll let them in if they beat Mississippi State. I think they're
okay.
in.
So we're talking about really a two-loss Ole Miss, who would normally, if Lane was there, probably have a good argument to be there. Yeah, I do think that they would kick a two-loss Ole Miss out because they'd want to get Miami in, to be honest.
Wow. And the other part is, do they actually dock them a home game? Now, the Hunter Yurecek made this lame 6-7 joke. The real big thing, I think, for college football is 8-9. Which doesn't
does not have
a fun thing attached to it. But 8, you get a home playoff game. 9, you don't. So I wonder if they would hold that against Ole Miss and say, listen, we're going to put you in, but we're not giving you a home game where you get to make all this money.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about this year's ranking. It's pretty much set in stone. There's really not a lot of move up.
Well, wait till this weekend, though.
Well, even, I mean, Ohio State, there's a lot of big spreads. Like last year, there was a lot of close games that came down the wire. This year, and that, a lot of analysts said this, it's kind of it's a less flexible top 12. There's not a lot the committee can do.
I think it would just be unreal if they held this against Ole Miss if Lane Kiffin leaves. Like, if it just seems so dumb. And it does seem a little different to me than what happened with Florida State, when they went undefeated, but they lost their quarterback and then got left out of a four-team college football playoff in favor of Alabama, because we saw what Florida State looked like without Jordan Travis, and it did not look the same, right?
Right.
They won, but barely, and it just looked different. We have no idea how Ole Miss would play without Lane Kiffin. They might be better. Who knows? I mean, Lane doesn't even call plays. So I'm not saying that he doesn't matter. I'm just saying it's not like he's calling the plays offensively. You know, he's more just the head coach CEO type for this team.
Yeah, but that all makes logical sense. But for example, why do they have Notre Dame at number 9?
They're doing this whole body of work thing with Notre Dame. Even though Notre Dame lost the first two games, they're doing like the how do you look lately.
They're doing the color of the helmet.
Well, and that, but they've been doing that.
They beat a lacrosse player who was playing quarterback last week. They're definitely doing the Notre Dame is in no matter who they play.
Yeah.
Right. So, again, it's trying to apply logic to a system that isn't logical. I got to be honest. It's going to be the same thing as last year. I think the two-loss SEC teams sitting on the outside are going to be like, what's going on here? Like, why are we scheduling anybody? Let's not do this anymore.
Well, they're getting a 9th conference game, right? The SEC going to a 9th conference game? So,
but they still, a lot of them have early season games scheduled for the next 4 years. So I don't know if they get to cancel those. It's just, I'm a little just frustrated by the lack of consideration of strength of victory. I don't understand
strength of schedule.
Strength of victory.
Strength of victory.
I don't care who you schedule. If you get killed by them, what difference does that make? You have to beat a good team.
Okay. But you're not talking about 70-7. You're talking about...
No, I mean, if I don't... Because Notre Dame lost to two good teams, like, that doesn't give them any credit. If you lose the game, you don't get credit for it. It's the strength of victory. Why would you even consider a strength of schedule?
And beyond that, I think that the committee or whatever happens whenever they decide to change this formatting, head-to-head has to be a tiebreaker. This is ridiculous. Because the NFL has been doing this for how many years, guys? Yeah. 100 years? Whatever. We've never complained about head-to-head being the tiebreaker. The Chiefs, in theory, could have the same record as the Jaguars, and they could miss the playoffs because the Jaguars beat them. And we're not going to sit here and say, oh, you know what? The Chiefs, I know the Jaguars aren't that great. We should just throw the Chiefs in there. No, we understand that we play this out on the field. The fact that Miami could have beaten Notre Dame on the field, and that's not going to matter, is insane. And nobody, unless you're in South Bend, nobody seems to understand why what happens on the field between two teams does not matter. This has to change. You cannot have a situation where head-to-head matchups during the regular season doesn't matter, because in the regular season becomes meaningless.
Yes, well, I know what they would say, EJ, and I'm not saying I'm with them, but this is what they would say to that, which is, what happened after the head-to-head? Right. Like, I think because college football, but also in the NFL, like, you lose a player or you get some injury bug, something like that, your team looks wildly different despite the fact that you may have won that game. I don't think that applies here because Miami is really right of the ship. You know, they lost two games. They lost to Louisville. They lost to SMU. Well, SMU is now ranked. Right.
Right. They may win the conference.
They might win the conference. So that's looking a little bit better because they were killing Miami for unranked losses, bad losses. But I think that now that Miami has righted the ship, they are giving a little bit more credit to that. I do.
They beat Virginia Tech, NC State, and Syracuse.
NC State was in a 7-point game against Notre Dame at halftime a couple weeks ago. They were up by, what, 2 points against BC going into the fourth quarter, whether it was? Like, miss me with this Notre Dame has been blowing out all these teams. They haven't been. They have been, but for some reason they've only taken this two game window where Miami did not play well and said that that is the end all be all. When again, what's the point of having these early season games then?
EJ, you're creeping into the tier. So
I think you
rest
actually
easy.
You could have actually a stone cold rule. Head-to-head matters, except for Notre Dame with the Astros. Then they'll be fine. Because nothing matters. Like, why are we putting our minds into pretzels over this? Like, who cares? Like, well, it's going to be Notre Dame, so stop even worrying about it.
Well, the other part, too, is I don't want to invest all of this into, because I did this last year, invested a lot into Miami, thinking, Miami, Cam Ward, they're doing it. Then they go to Syracuse, and they lost the last game, and I was like, ugh. What were we doing defending Miami this whole time? I'm all good with defending Miami head-to-head with Notre Dame, but they can't go to Pitt and lose.
I also love...
And that's going to be tough, EJ. You know, 32 degrees at kickoff?
Yeah. Jeez. No, I'm not expecting this to be an easy game, but again, it's just...
I don't think it has to be style points. I think that if you win, you win. I don't think it should be style points when you're Miami going to Pitt and it's 30 degrees.
But the way you hear these conversations, they're talking about Syracuse's win. Notre Dame's win over Syracuse, saying, well, they beat them 70-7. Miami only beat them 38-10. Well, Syracuse was not playing a quarterback.
Yeah,
they were playing a guy that basically is not on scholarship. Miami had to play their quarterback and their running back, who also didn't play against Notre Dame. So, like, I just think the committee says they quote unquote watch these games. I don't really know if they do.
Yeah.
I really don't.
That's fair. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Question for you about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Should Ole Miss be docked, if you will? Maybe move down, not give it a home game, all of that, if Lane Kiffin decides to leave and they don't have their coach. They could be a different team. I don't know. We haven't seen it. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, we have a lot of college and NFL for you on today's show, including previewing these Thanksgiving games, Black Friday, everything in between. Also, it is Wednesday, which means we have a holiday-themed great debate around here. If you're on the road, you're driving, please be safe and give us a call. 888-710-4ISN. What do you think about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss? It's M&P.
6-7. But seriously, Rich,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So Peter Schwartz is on updates today, and I have a lot of questions.
Good morning, Peter.
I did a full preview of Schwartz coming on with our friend Gio from WFAN down the hall. He was very impressed. You caught a T-shirt at a G League game.
Yes, I did.
I've always wanted to catch a T-shirt. Can you break it down for me?
I should.
Did you shove a kid out of the way to get it?
No, I was sitting first row on the floor, feet on the floor, which is actually really this cool. Guy.
Wait, hold on. VIP Peter Schwartz. Did you catch it off a T-shirt gun or just someone threw it?
No, somebody threw it to me.
All right, so a little less of
one. Do they even have a t-shirt gun for the G League team?
They have had one. I don't think they used it the other night.
So basically someone threw something and Peter caught it? That's impressive to you? You got to be able to get out of the gun when that thing's coming at your head.
I thought it was the gun.
No, it was not the gun.
Was it at the Coliseum?
It was at the Coliseum.
So basically an intern threw Peter Schwartz a t-shirt. That's impressive.
No, it was one of the dancers.
Oh, okay. Well,
they got dancers?
Yeah.
Well, I never thought.
Suddenly, Manny's interested.
I didn't think you were in the first. I had no idea you were in the first row.
I was Spike Lee on Monday Night at the 100.
What kind of idiot? Why would you give a t-shirt to someone in the front row? Somebody in the front row already has life handed. That's a no rule. You don't not give a t-shirt to anyone in the front row.
The story, though, is that I'm sitting there and they do the t-shirt toss and I'm like, oh, I put my hands up, like throw the t-shirt. And the dancer goes to throw it right at me. Then my son sticks his hand in front of me. And he takes that one.
Nice.
I'm like, son of a gun. Like, it was coming right to me. And then about 5 minutes later, they were still throwing t-shirts out, and then I got another one.
And did you give it to a kid or anything?
I brought it home. I'm going to give it to a friend of the family.
Just keep it for yourself.
It's not going to fit. It's going to fit on my finger, basically. Oh. It's small.
Just small?
Yeah.
Usually they turn out to XLs.
They shot it, but they... Usually it's XLs at least that you would get the free t-shirt.
Was it a school day over there? Like, were the kids around?
No, it was actually Jewish Heritage Night.
Huh. But packed house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a minion.
If you sit in the front row of those games, like those dancers, the cheerleaders, they don't have guns. They don't. It's not Patrick Mahomes over there.
No, but some cases they do. Like, I mean, they do have it at like Knicks games where they fire it up into the upper level.
Well, yeah, Knicks games. I've gone to Westchester Knicks games at the Westchester County Center. They don't have a gun either. They just have people throwing stuff to the people down on the court side.
Just like word to the wise on these things. Like, I know it's fun to catch the t-shirts, especially out of the guns and stuff, the t-shirt gun. But I've seen people almost die. For this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, almost go over the railing, you know.
Oh, it happened at a Long Island Ducks baseball game a number of years ago. Somebody fell out of the suite level to try to catch it.
I mean, you have a couple drinks in you, and you think you get it. And people, because they usually don't throw these out until later in the game, fourth quarter, whatever, trying to get the crowd into it. And I've seen people almost die. And then you unroll the t-shirt, and it's a triple XL. It's the most disgusting. It's itchy. The quality is cheap. This is not worth dying for.
I would have signed on the dotted line for a 3XL. I might have been able to squeeze that one on, but not an adult small.
I caught a towel once at Air Canada Center, now known as Scotiabank Arena, at a Raptors T-Wolves game, I think it was. And that was fun. But I too was basically just handed to it because the dancer just, you know, showed off that gun that traveled 2 yards, and I caught it one handed like Odell. That was
fun.
Have
you ever caught a foul ball?
No.
Anybody? My husband has. We still have the ball.
Yankee batting practice years ago, we're standing out in right field, and some guy launches a home run, and I'm right underneath it. I'm just going about to catch it, and some guy pushes me over.
Yeah, you're a big guy.
It's a big guy, pushes me over, and I'm like, son of a gun, that was going to be my ball. So he dropped it, and it rolls down like the old tunnels at old Yankee Stadium, and the ball starts rolling down. So I went after him, and I kind of pushed him out of the way. We both start rolling down the ramp.
Wow.
And I wound up with the ball, and he wound up with his beer all over him.
Wow.
Hell yeah,
I wasn't going to take that crap.
You're lucky he didn't stand up and try to punch you in the face.
And I got the ball still.
Mm. Wow.
I've actually been hit in the face with a foul ball at a Mets game, sitting in the press box.
Well, that's dangerous.
I was reading a memo from the program director in the press box, and I wasn't paying attention, and somebody on the Padres fouled one right back and square right in the face.
Broke
my glasses.
I was going to say, that will break your glasses. Yeah. This happened to John Sterling. We play it all the time.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I think I said a little bit more than ouch.
It'd be painful.
I remember I went to a Mets game and Luis Guillerme threw a ball. I miss him. Threw a ball into I guess, you know, foul territory after an inning. It bounced off my hands. Andrea, my fiance, grabs the ball on the ground. The amount of hands that came out of nowhere trying to claw her hand as her hand's on the ground. She's like, guys, I have the ball. What are you doing? I mean, this is a woman. You got these 60, 50-year-old dudes
with
crusty, nasty fingernails clawing at my fiance's hand. I'm like, yo, what are you doing, bro?
All bets are off.
You tell Andrea that she got to get some stronger hands, man.
Listen, she held onto the ball. We got it. Hey. It's still at our crib.
I just want to point out that Perloff brought this up and then steps back from the conversation and doesn't say a word. Peter, T-shirt, and then it's like, where'd you go?
I just don't think he's impressed because the story. I think Gio tried to make the story sound better than it was.
I think Schwartz just wind him up and go. I don't even think you need to.
It's like sometimes John Stockton just set up the offense, throw the ball, just cut to the corner.
What, I are mean, you on vacation already?
Like Kwame Brown said, you see the screens I was setting out there?
Yeah. For Kobe? There's no reason to even interject. He's got it going.
You ever catch something at a game, Pearl?
What's that? No, nothing. Him? No, not even close. Have you guys ever been caught on a dance cam?
No.
I was in the background of one, like, but not like close enough to really background. Be dancing.
I was once the subject of a video shot at Yankee Stadium. That was pretty cool.
Did you go for it?
Oh, I was flexing. I had upgraded seats. It was awesome. It was one of the best days of my life.
Wait, what do you mean subject of my life? You just got caught on camera?
No, yeah, like the camera person for the stadium came down and he was like, hey, wave your hands, everybody. And I was like, yeah, go Yankees.
But you didn't start doing like the Running Man and stuff.
Oh, no, I was just yelling and you saw all the veins in my, you know, from my neck up just out of my body. It was awesome. Go Yankees.
Have you ever seen an oblivious cam at a game?
Oh, every day.
Yeah, so the Islanders do it before the teams come out on the ice for warm-ups, and they just find somebody.
Who's like picking their nose.
Like picking their nose. They're just sitting there looking on. They get the guy, they're looking at their phone, and they, meantime, they're up on the screen, and they have a clock. And they said, record this season is whatever number it is.
Man.
And then so there was a game earlier this year, like everybody was cheering to beat the record. And finally, like 10 seconds to go, the guy looks up and goes, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I think
kiss cams are probably over after that whole Coldplay thing.
Oh,
right?
They're still doing
maybe
them.
After COVID.
Oh.
Remember that? The guy got caught having an affair. Yeah. It became a story for like 2 months.
I saw just like last week, I think the Nets were playing, I want to say in Orlando, and they wanted to play like a joke on how Nets fans are losers, I guess. So
they are.
They had a kiss cam where all these Magic fans are showing their love to their partners. And then there's some Nets fan sitting somewhere by himself, no one near him. And he's up there alone. He's got to sit there and everybody's laughing at him.
I thought a bit.
Something that was funny, I saw basically the same thing that Peter said. People just looking down at their phone. And then once they see themselves on the Jumbotron, they start to wave at the Jumbotron. And then they just cut it off. And then they go to the next person who's oblivious. And that person finally realizes. And then right as soon as they lift their arms to, you know, say hello to the Jumbotron, cut them off, go to the next person. That's funny.
Yeah, I don't think the kiss cam would be gone just because of that. I think they actually got more attention on the kiss cam.
Oh, yeah. And I like what happened with some teams do is they do the kiss cam. They go to all the couples in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then they focus the camera on two players of the visiting team on the bench or whatever it is. And, you know, again, that usually gets a rile out of people. So,
and that concludes our in-stadium entertainment portion of the Maggie and Perloff show for this calendar year.
I'm sorry the t-shirt story wasn't as exciting as you thought it was going to be.
No, it's pretty good. The picture on X of your feet, and you look like you'd expect. A giant man holding a tiny t-shirt. Yeah. And just somebody in the media getting the free t-shirt, probably not ideal, but no big deal. Did you pay for the tickets?
No.
There you go. Oh. Let's get to the headlines.
Did you have a media pass?
What?
Did you have a media pass?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's being honored. All right.
I had the Long Island Nets head coach on my podcast, Nets invited us to come to the game.
Well, that makes it legit.
Yeah.
Now you deserve all the t-shirts.
There you go. It's one that fits. This report is brought to you by Prize Picks. On Prize Picks, you simply pick 2 to 6 players, choose more or less, and watch your lineups light up like the holidays. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. No change in the top 5 in the college football playoff rankings. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas Tech, your top 5. Oregon moves up to number 6. Ole Miss drops to 7. And Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Alabama round out the top 10. Colorado State reportedly expected to name UConn coach Jim Mora as their new head coach. He's coming off back-to-back 9-win seasons at UConn. Now to the NFL, and Maggie will pay attention to this, although she probably already knows it. Bills signed veteran wide receiver Brandon Cooks, who was waived by the Saints on Saturday.
Yeah, take anybody. Anybody with a pulse, two feet, and two hands.
Has he been there before? I couldn't remember.
No, he's been basically on every team except for the Bills. But listen, they're doing this thing where now, because they didn't make a significant trade at the deadline, and they decided to go in the season without upgrading the receiving core, really, now they just have to pick off the scrap heap, Pearl. But listen, if Brandon Cooks catches a big pass in, you know, against Indianapolis in the first round or against Denver, fine, totally worth it.
And Shaq Lawson back on the Bills too.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I feel
that
like
that was a Bills, Rex Ryan pick. Way back in the day.
I feel like the Bills bring back Andre Reed if they could.
Yeah. They would. Seriously, can he suit up? Because Eric Molds, the whole get everybody.
What's
back.
Stevie Johnson?
Don Beebe.
Dude, Stevie Johnson's Johnson. a Twitter.
Hey, let's get Marshawn.
He's on fire on Twitter.
Stevie Johnson as a big social guy? I had no idea. Yeah, I love that guy.
I mean, maybe just in my feed.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He's big in Western New York.
Definitely a Bills algorithm.
Is he, what is he? He's just like gets really frustrated when they lose? What's the deal with Stevie Johnson?
No, he gives like honest to goodness, like football tips. Like football, what he sees. It's like X's and O's. It's not Stevie Johnson, the one-time fantasy darling who liked to cook Darrell Revis.
Oh, he used to smoke Revis. It was crazy.
The only guy in history
that gave him problems.
I know, because he never ran an actual route. Like from a tree.
A freestyle.
But anyway, I'm okay with it. I mean, I don't know if any of this is going to work, but they should have been more active at the deadline. They didn't do it. Now they realize it.
Now to the NBA, and Laker fans are starting to chant, "We want the cup."
Here come the Lakers with the ball and a 6-point lead. LeBron has it up the left side. Thinks about a three. Now LeBron attacks the rim. Got there. 10-foot bank shot. Good.
That was John Ireland on Lakers radio. Lakers win their fifth in a row, beat the Clippers 135-118. They clinched their group in NBA Cup play. Luka Doncic, 43 points, 13 assists, 9 rebounds, and said the Lakers can be dangerous.
Very dangerous, you know, but we got to go game by game. We still have a lot of improvement left, so we got to go game by game and look the things we can improve.
LeBron James adding 25 points. Now to Orlando.
Jones going to have to go. Tyus into the lane. A wide open layup. It's up and good. What a way to end the third quarter. 121-83.
That was Jake Chapman on Magic Radio. Magic over the Sixers, 144-103. Anthony Black, a career-high 31 points. And Orlando improves to 3-0 at NBA Cup player. You guys into the NBA Cup?
Don't even get us started around here. That is the one thing that almost tore the show apart. Perloff hates the NBA Cup. EJ and Manny love the
NBA Cup. No.
Perloff and Bogish both hate the NBA Cup. EJ and Manny think it's fun. Honestly, Peter, it's a hornet's nest of a topic.
No, but not hate. I don't think it's a thing.
Well, it exists. So
not really.
It's a thing.
I think it's kind of silly.
There will be games in Vegas. So I
don't understand. Like, It's the regular season. Why do we have to make anything more of the regular season than it is? It's like, why do we have to make it? It's their games. Like, just who cares?
Why not?
I'll say this. At least they actually do care when they play these games in Vegas. They are trying. They are. I mean,
but that's
the NBA regular
game.
Season is just such a zero.
But that's an added game because when they get to that point, it's not a regular season game.
No,
they add the game.
But you get like quality basketball in December.
Yeah,
right?
You're trying to split that pot, especially for the guys who are making minimum wage who are 22 years old that probably aren't going to filing through the G League and the bigs.
The assistant coaches also.
Them too.
Little do they know they can just manipulate their under on a rebound and. Well, rebound total.
Jontae Porter said, my team ain't going nowhere in this NBA Cup. Let me get this parlay going real quick.
I was thinking about that. Is anyone thinking about this when you're watching NBA games?
What?
The fact that guys are manipulating their over-unders on their props?
No, because I want to watch a sport and not think about that.
It's impossible now, though.
I mean, like the St. John's game a couple of nights ago, and the basket, in theory, could have helped, but they had a backdoor cover at the end of the game where it was just like, all right, and now I gotta think about whether or not this guy knew
going to the free throw line. Was it that situation?
No, it was like they missed a three that would have tied the game, and instead of like there was only 1 second left, instead of going for like throwing it out to another three, some guy just laid it in, which cut the lead to one as time expired and the spread was two and a half.
He was just trying to get some.
That one is a little.
I know, but then on social media, guess what happens though? It's like, look at what happened in this game, and
ignorance,
it's like, I can't do this. I can't do this every
bliss.
Game.
I think ignorance we should put up a poll on the in season. What is a bigger deal, to win the in season tournament or win the summer league crown?
Oh, come on, Pearl.
Who won last
year?
What's
bigger?
Was last year the Lakers,
the Super Bowl, or the
was
Pro
that 2 years
Bowl?
Ago?
Put it up on the poll.
Who won the thing last year?
The Bucks.
Was it not the Lakers?
Oh, I guess their season wasn't a disaster last year. That's what I mean. Who cares, right?
Bucks and Thunder played. It was a fine game. Trae Young embarrassed himself in semifinals.
But, I mean,
it was great.
Remember the Lakers won 2 years ago? Like, I guess we salvaged something from the season. No, they didn't.
Love it. It was a fine game.
We hang banners for the NBA Cup, all right, guys? Respect
the
Cup.
Really?
The Thunder took that run
Lakers
and went
Bucks
all the way to the NBA.
And they did it their next home game. Like, they didn't even waste any time. They raised the banner at
Got
the next home game.
Got that thing printed, man.
What are you going to do? Like, I mean, wait till the offseason to go?
They have that banner hanging in L.A. That's that is embarrassing.
With all the ones that were won by Magic. And,
I mean, I could see the Clippers putting up a banner for that, but not the Lakers.
The historic Los Angeles Lakers.
They have enough banners. That's what I mean, right? One up.
That is embarrassing. I will give you that.
All right, that's where we'll leave it. 888-710-4ISN. Peter, thanks so much. Coming up next, is one NFL team making a huge mistake? We'll get to that next. M&P.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You're part of the problem now, you realize.
It only took you guys 47 minutes.
What? You couldn't wait one more day?
I mean, I played
two
in the,
more days?
I played in the first rejoin.
Well, I didn't want to step over Schwartz.
He didn't talk for another 5 minutes after I finished
also,
playing.
Also, the middle segments is Perloff's rejoin. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, he just glazed right over it, too.
And yeah, we're doing all Christmas music today. It's Thanksgiving's tomorrow. It's not even Thanksgiving.
Well, you know what? I you say I'm part of the problem. I love being the problem.
But there's no Thanksgiving music, right?
Yeah. What's Thanksgiving music?
Just play
what's
regular music.
Thanksgiving music
Cordae
is this
Thanksgiving
music.
Song.
What was that?
Cordae is a Thanksgiving song. It's very good.
Okay.
Just play regular music. We don't have to get to the Christmas music yet. We're going to have a month of Christmas music. I love Christmas music. I'm not anti. I'm not the Grinch over here. I'm just like, let's.
It sounds like you are.
Let's let every season breathe a little.
We are. It's the holiday season.
No, it's Thanksgiving.
Listen,
which is part of the holiday season.
Listen, new.
My dentist is near Rockefeller Center, so I was in that area, and you could have confused me that it was Thanksgiving season because it looked like Christmas to me.
You can't trust those people. That's commerce, man. Like, we've got to stand strong here as
enough with the capitalism.
Well, I'm just saying,
is that capitalism?
Pearl, this didn't used to be this way. I feel like Thanksgiving used to be its own separate thing, and now Christmas has just gobbled it up.
Us young people rule the world now.
But I thought it was Christmas infringing on Halloween that was getting people mad. I feel like Thanksgiving, you're getting close enough.
Perloff knows ball. You see?
You're kind of getting close, Matt.
Okay,
you have to admit that.
No. But Thanksgiving always had at least its day. And then the day after, I think, was when people would put up the Christmas decorations and put up the Black Friday. Mm. So actually people would go shopping. And then you're getting into the holiday season. And I felt like people used to put their trees up the day after Thanksgiving or the week after Thanksgiving, because you got a little time off.
All
from
I know
work.
Is when I sit down on a Thanksgiving morning and I turn on that TV and the Macy's Thanksgiving parade is on, who's closing the show?
It's always Santa. I understand.
Santa. Mariah, and it's, Mariah, it's Christmas.
Mariah ain't been near that thing
I think she was there last year, a couple years ago. She was there recently.
You Mariah. Mariah's still always at Thanksgiving.
Derek Jeter's ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, she does a 30 Rock thing, too.
Yeah.
All right, maybe I haven't watched it. In
By the way, Maggie's totally old school. She asked me the other day, are the lines bad at Black Friday?
I know, I need a laptop. And I was like, can I go to Best Buy? Is that going to be, am I going to get in a fight with a woman from Long Island?
You can go to Best Buy. It's called look at your phone and hit six buttons and you've purchased said item.
Maggie, you go ahead to Best Buy at 5 in the morning. Let us know how it worked out for you, okay?
I'm going
to
be up. You think that you just all of a sudden switch your circadian rhythms for this show because we got a couple days off?
Yes.
No shot.
Yes.
I'm really into this Corday song, by the way. I'm watching the video now. This looks like we better learn. What is this song? I've never heard of a Thanksgiving song, but I think we got one for later.
Corday, like Naomi Osaka's old man?
You saw the Corday song?
I'm watching the video right now.
Oh,
it looks amazing.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Naomi's old
Because I was like, what? There's a Thanksgiving song? I've never heard it?
Yeah, Corday, you know, formerly with Naomi Osaka. They were a couple. They have a child.
A Thanksgiving song? What is it? Just turkeys? Couple, 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 couple.
No, come on. Don't disrespect Corday like that.
I'm disrespecting the idea of a Thanksgiving song. What could possibly
be
a Thanksgiving
song? The lyrics look pretty
good.
I can't hear it because I don't have it on. We'll play it later.
I wish that everyone would just take a breath. Like, what's the rush? We're going to get to Christmas. We always get there, and we get the whole month. We can't let Thanksgiving have 1 second.
But Thanksgiving is still widely celebrated. I don't think it's taking away. They amplify each other. Maybe. I mean, I don't think anyone is taking Thanksgiving lightly. Everyone
Christmas
here loves that.
Christmas just trounces all over Thanksgiving. This is like the NFL, what they did to Christmas. This is what Christmas is doing to Thanksgiving. The NFL came in, said, NBA, you think that's your holiday? Ha ha. Think again. We'll play on a Wednesday. We don't care. We will put our brains on the line. Doesn't matter. And now this is what's happened. It's like Thanksgiving, it's all jumbled in together.
Local woman makes strong rant.
Enough's enough. I just went through a month of Halloween. How about that? Does that need to be a month? I want to shorten Halloween. I want to expand Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, if you want to, specifically, today's the 26th. Christmas is on the 25th. So you do, in fact, get less than a month of Christmas music.
Do you understand, though? We used to have Thanksgiving movies, Pearl. I don't even think they would do that nowadays because Thanksgiving is not even a thing. Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. Amazing Thanksgiving movie.
There's like 7 Netflix movies about Thanksgiving on right now.
Well, now it's just the machine. They need
those
content.
Those B-movies,
When's the Bill's Holiday movie coming out?
Oh, God, that monstrosity.
That looks awful.
It does.
Wait,
what did you think
it
was going to be? It's a Hallmark movie, basically, about...
Oh, Bill's Mafia, right.
Yeah.
Because nothing says romance.
Nothing says romance like Orchard Park on a Sunday.
Like,
hell yeah.
Chugging Labatt Blue Light.
With some Zubaz on.
And peeing your pants.
There's another commercial out there
with the
Buffalo kids being baptized through the chairs. I mean, the tables.
It's been going on for a while.
Oh, yeah.
The one where it ends up with the guy buying the jersey at the store?
No, that's a legit commercial. This is EJ's talking about home videos where people little newborns like over a fake table.
Yeah, there's a commercial, I think, now that's like showing like a compilation of them. Enough of Bill's Mafia. I'm sorry.
Jump the shark.
Enough of these people.
You know,
is what happens. You have to win, actually.
On the Bills movie, football is really hard to do in fiction form. You could notice that. But there's a new show out that they're running a commercial for about like a USC quarterback that's fake. Fake football shows never, ever, ever work. Like
Friday Night Lights.
The game was
Friday Night Lights, movie, by the way, was kind of real, but.
No, but the TV show is like thought of as one of the greatest shows of all time.
That's true, but Friday Night Lights, but generally, like most of it is crap. Like, what was that movie that came out, Him or something? That did not do well.
Yeah, it
didn't. They sent us a lot of promotional material for that, and I was like, you guys are really trying to sell this movie.
I wanted that to be good, too.
But I think Friday Night Lights being based in reality kind of helped it. Generally, when you do fiction about football, kind of doesn't work. Like the good movies are the true stories, like Remember the Titans and all that.
Sure.
I keep saying The Game is it was a very popular show. It was on for like 10 years on multiple networks.
The Game?
Yeah. We've played clips on it on this show.
Well, what about the one with The Rock? That show, Ballers.
Ballers? That was pretty good.
No, it's not fun anymore. Not even a little bit.
That show kind of went flat.
That
it didn't work
cheesy.
As well.
It's kind of cheesy.
Yeah, but that had a lot of seasons too, though.
Well.
Because The Rock, you say?
I think The Rock and...
I liked Denzel's it. I thought it was actually pretty funny, but I thought it did not do as well as it could have. Generally, and this Bills movie, I do not think it's going to be up for an Oscar.
What gave you that clue?
Shut your mouth, you thong wearing fatty!
The only thing that can save that Bills movie would be The Rock. Anyway, let's talk about football. Real football. Thanks.
Just bring it, jabronis!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.